All right, take your Bibles tonight. We're going to take the Lord's Supper, but before I'm going to speak for a few minutes about why we take the Lord's Supper. We have some seats. There's some seats down here that you don't have to be deaf to sit down here today. Okay, so John will talk to you out loud if you need to hear him. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want us to read the verses. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We won't read responsibly, but I'll read it and you can follow along in your Bible. Why do we take the Lord's Supper? And then we'll take the Lord's Supper together as we prepare for a new year. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to get one. I think I'm a little old school. By the way, in this instance, I do prefer, and I'm not, if you don't, that's fine. I prefer Bibles when I come to church. And I read my Bible on an app. Okay, so and I take notes and everything on Olive Tree, and I get all that. But when I'm in the service, I like to have that simply because I don't like, you know, you open up your phone, and if you do, I'm not chiding you at all. That's fine if that works for you. But just make sure your Facebook is turned off, and you know people are texting you like, "What's for dinner?" You know, we're talking about the Lord's Supper, and then someone's like, "What's for dinner?" It's like, well, that's kind of God. No, it's a completely different thing. Okay, and so. But have a Bible, okay? So you want to follow along in your Bibles in one way or another. And if you don't have one and you're newer, if you'll come see me, I will send you to Brother Ross and he'll buy you one, okay? So, and if he's not available, Brother Pichardo will buy you one, all right? These guys are loaded, so it'll work out nicely. That'll be our New Year's gift to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17, please. It says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Now we understand, if you've went through our discipleship class at all, that there's two ordinances that were given to the church: baptism and the Lord's Supper. I don't like calling it communion. I like the Lord's Supper. Communion to me has more of a Catholic connotation, and they've corrupted the Lord's Supper. These are not to be some mindless religious exercise without a real meaning. Baptism has a meaning. It's a testimony to the world that you've received Christ as your Savior, and you're making that public, and it's showing that the death, burial, and resurrection, and how now that you're saved, you are raised, and you can walk in newness of life. And then the Lord's Supper is of his death, especially the giving of his body and spilling of his blood for salvation. And we remember that. Now, Paul wrote here to the Corinthian church. They had many issues. 1 Corinthians is not a book of necessarily encouragement in the beginning. Paul kind of just lays into them, and he deals with issues that they're having in the church and how they can correct them and make them right. And they had an issue also with the way they observed the Lord's Supper. Apparently, it seems like they observed it many times, if not every week. And it turned out to be more or less not the Lord's Supper, but a time just to eat together. And some were eating and others were not eating. And the whole thing was just kind of messed up. And Paul wanted them to make it right. He wanted them to understand correctly what the Lord's Supper was. He condemned their behavior and said, look, if it's just you getting together to have a potluck and as that, eat at home. Okay, this isn't about eating. And then he explains to them the importance of the Lord's Supper and what it is about. Having rebuked them, he teaches them how to observe the Lord's Supper by focusing on why they have the Lord's Supper in the first place. We don't do, look, Catholics believe that when they take the Lord's Supper and the priest does his little hocus pocus thing, that the bread becomes the literal body of Christ and the juice becomes the literal blood of Christ. That's heresy. That is not scriptural. Okay? That's not, I went to a funeral once of an in-law's family, and at the end of the funeral, they took the Lord's Supper, and I listened, and that was specifically what the priest got up and started saying after he did his little whatever, and that's not true, okay? That's not some hocus-pocus nonsense. We want to follow what the Bible says, okay? And we're going to look at it. So what is the Lord's Supper about? Let me mention a couple things, and then we'll take it together. By the way, we take it once every 3 months on Sunday night. Typically the last Sunday night every 3 months, unless something's there. But that's when we take the Lord's Supper. When are you supposed to take it? The Bible says as often as you do. It's each church's individual choice. And so I just want us to understand and remember a few things and things that we've talked about before we take the Lord's Supper together as we are ending this year, this decade. First of all, I would say I believe that the Lord's Supper helps a church, and it is for unity, for unity. Verse 17 and 18, he said, now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together into church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And there were divisions. And he says, you're coming together, and he says, it's not helpful. In fact, it's dividing. They had great division in the church. Fact of the matter is, the Lord's Supper ought to unify us. It's something we ought to think about when we take. In fact, if we take it incorrectly, there's a place where it's condemned. Okay, very strongly. The Lord's Supper ought to be a unifying thing. As we remember, and we'll get to that in a minute, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we all are serving on the same team. We need to be unified. This church was not unified. They couldn't even get together and take the Lord's Supper correctly, and it was hurting one another, and they were, the poor people in the church were being neglected. Let's say it was just a bunch of nonsense. We ought to be unified. Yeah. When we think about Jesus Christ and we think about everything he has done, it ought to unify us. Yes, sir. By the way, you know what unity means? Unity means we're all on the same team. Yep. Okay, we all serve the same Lord. And sometimes we need to stop and remember that, because what happens is little things might creep in, little irritations and this, that, or the other, and now we're nitpicking each other, or we're throwing darts at each other, and it's like, listen, we all serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Sunday morning's message. We're supposed to focus on God first, and then we have a proper focus about ourselves. We understand who we are. We still need forgiveness, and we can cut each other some slack. But we're never going, look, I'm excited about our theme this year, and I got some things that we're putting in place, some new things, or revamping some of the things we're doing, so it'll be, to me, to make it better. But if we're not all on the same team, it's going to be a struggle. And we are, and we're going to keep it that way. Cut each other some slack. It's about unity. We all are on the same team. We all serve the same God. Disunity kills, okay? Unity strengthens and empowers. And so the Lord's Supper will help us as we come together as a church to have a unified purpose, because we understand who Jesus Christ is. Also, thankfulness. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, before he passes it out, he gives thanks. By the way, shouldn't we be thankful? Why is it one time a year we think about thankfulness, right? Thanksgiving. What is that thing? The Babylon Bee, right? They had how many of you know what the Babylon Bee is? It's a satire site, and it's drop dead funny, by the way. And on Black Friday, they had a thing. that Christians all across America repent of their Thanksgiving because of the way they were acting on Black Friday, okay? But you know what? Thanksgiving isn't just for one day a year. And when we stop, and when we have to make ourselves think about it, but when we take the Lord's Supper specifically, and we think about what Jesus Christ did, we think about God sending his son, we think about what that means for us in the whole scheme of our eternity, boy, we have a lot to be thankful for. Yes, sir. And so we ought to be thankful for God that he's, you know, God would have been just if he didn't send his son. If God allowed us to live in our rebellion and die in our sins to go to hell, that is what we deserve. Well, God doesn't, you know, people are like, why doesn't God do this, that, or other? God doesn't owe us a thing. Thank God he does give us a lot of things. Thank God he does want to be a part of our life. Thank God he did want to offer us forgiveness of our sins for all eternity. I'm thankful for that. And you know what? I'm like you. I think sometimes we don't think about that enough. Right? Sometimes we take, it's funny, you take for granted, when you have something for a while, you take it for granted. You ever bought a new car, man? That when you bought that new car, it's like no one's getting in that thing. The kids can't breathe in it, okay? And I'm going to wash it every single day. And then after you've owned it 3 months, you lend it to the bus ministry, okay? Here, go pick up 75 people in that car. Because you get used to it. Hey, let's not get used to what God's done for us. Let's be thankful for what he's done, and for remembrance. When he had given bread, when thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat this body which is broken for you, verse 24, this do in remembrance, verse 25. And the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance. He doesn't want to be forgotten. You know, we always joked around about Christmas. It's like Jesus is the only one at Christmas that doesn't get a present, and it's his birthday. Yeah. Okay? And I know as Christians we don't forget about him, but a lot of times we do. He wants us to remember him. He knows that we are flesh. He knows that we are weak, and he knows we have a tendency to forget what he has done for us. The name's not coming to me right now. But one of the kings who was made a king when he was a child, the high priest helped him and guided him. Once he got older and that high priest was gone, that king actually ended up killing and putting to death that high priest's son. He forgot what he had done for him. And we forget. Let's not forget. Let's remember that he gave us his body. He allowed himself, the creator of the universe, the creator of everything, he allowed himself to be mistreated, to be beaten, and he allowed himself to be put to death, okay? None of us would let some, look, if you're walking down the street and someone starts throwing at you, you're going to throw back, okay? Say, oh, I'm a pacifist. Okay, well, you can pass whatever you want, but you're going to go down swinging. I love that, and this isn't even part of the message, but it irritates me every time. You know, give peace a chance. Listen, it's hard to have peace when someone's trying to take you down. You know how you have peace? You take them down first, okay? Say, that's not Christian. It'll work, all right? Someone attacks you, attack back. Thank you, all right. But Jesus, the creator of the universe, all he had to do was think it. And nothing would have happened to him. Yep. He allowed it. Right. Why did he do that? He did that for us. And then he spilled his blood. His blood had to be shed, hearkening back to all those sacrifices in the Old Testament that pictured the one sacrifice that would take care of everything for all time. We don't need sacrifices anymore. Jesus sacrificed himself, but he had to shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So let's remember that Jesus allowed, he came to this earth, you know, the Christmas song, I don't know if we sang it this year, born to die upon Calvary. That's why he was born. Fourthly, for showing. The Lord's Supper is for showing. Verse 26, for as often as you do, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. What does that mean? It's showing. What is it showing? It shows us two things. His first coming, the Lord's death. He came to this earth the first time to die. But as you saw when we were in the book of Revelation, he's coming again. Oh, yeah. This time, he's not coming to die. Yeah. He's coming as king. Oh, there'll be some death happening, but it's going to be those who rejected him and fight against him. But he is coming again. And we will remember that. And until he comes, we need to remember his death. And by the way, he's not coming in the middle of the tribulation, just so you know. Okay, he's coming before that starts. If you wanna be here for that, that's fine. Okay, one of y'all can be the pastor. You can have my car. You can have my office. I won't need it anymore. Okay, but I don't plan on being here. But we're remembering that he came the first time to die, and he's coming the second time to reign. Yeah. And then lastly, and I think we do need to understand this, we take the Lord's Supper for examination. Verse 27, for whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. Let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. You know what we do? We think about our lives. Is there something in our life that needs to be confessed? Is there something in our life that we need to make an adjustment? We can't just come to the Lord's Supper with some known sin in our life and just like, I'll just do what I want. Take the Lord's Supper. That's a dangerous place to be. Okay? We remember what he done, but then we reflect on what we're doing. Now, I heard someone say one time, man, in the early days of our church, someone was giving a testimony during the Lord's Supper at the beginning. And he's just like, when we were singing the songs, he's like, you know, I just don't take the Lord's, because it takes me a long time to get right. I'm like, it doesn't have to take a long time to get right. And this is not someone that was out drinking. Listen, if God brings something to your mind that is keeping you between him and them, here's what you do. Confess it right now. Confess it right there. Lord, this has come between you and me, and you've shown this to me, Lord, and I know it's wrong. Forgive me and help me as I seek not to do that anymore. It's taken care of. Okay? It's taken care of. So examine yourself. But here's the bad place to be, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper. When the Lord shows you something that he wants you to change in your life, and you know it, and he knows it, by the way, and you say no, that's a bad place to be. Because all of us, there's something we do in our lives, and God's like, you shouldn't have done that, right? How many have been there? Okay, if you didn't raise your hands because your hand's tired. We've all been there, okay? We've all been there. But when we say, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to soldier on, and I'm not going to think about it, I'm not going to deal with it, that's a bad place to be. God doesn't bring it to mind to condemn us. He does bring it to us to convict us, so we'll get it right. See, Satan takes what you do wrong and he condemns you because he wants you to keep doing it. God convicts you because he wants you to get it right so that you'll go forward and you'll quit doing it and you'll have a close relationship with him. And when we take the Lord's Supper, that's a real good time to deal with it. So that's why we take the Lord's Supper. Men, why don't you come at this time? We're going to start and we're going to prepare for the Lord's Supper. We're going to take the bread first. We've read the verses here. We have an understanding. So we take it. I want you to be thankful. I want you to remember. I want you to reflect on what is going on.